when there's no excuses left, your success is on you, your losses are on you, fuck, you meet yourself really, really quick. And I gotta be honest, I didn't necessarily like who I met when I first
I was just gonna ask you that.
I did a lot of therapy as a kid because mom and dad were trying to figure out what the fuck was the matter with me because I was just an asshole.
Hey, Warners, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes business sexy again.
I'm Gina Tremarco, sales trainer and consultant at Pivot 10 Results and founder of Carolina Improv Company in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
And I'm Rachel Pitts, mommy, wifey, and mortgage loan officer with U.S. Mortgage.
The Singing Linda.
Singing Linda. I love how you sing it really soft. That's definitely needs to be bolder when I finally one day get around it.
Well, I'm really just trying to do, I'm just trying to be your harmony.
Oh.
So I go soft so that you can overpower me and sing over me. See what I was saying?
Harmony doesn't come first.
I know. Melody, I know. I know.
Why don't you sing louder? Well,
you know, sometimes, the people in the background just kind of show up softly and the people in the foreground just take over. I don't know.
I think we need to take baby out of the corner and you need to sing out, girl.
Oh, I need to do some singing. We keep talking karaoke. About it.
Yeah, well, we'll do karaoke when COVID's done. I don't trust it yet.
So, we had Donnie, our friend Donnie, on this episode.
Say his last name for us, Gina.
Bovine.
Is that right? Is that right?
Because bovine sounds like a cow. That's how.
Gotcha. I look at it and I think it's French. Bovine is what I see. That's
he's so far
every time from, I see it,
so
I think, well, French.
Probably his he's only, the only French he would probably claim is kissing. He's not even here to hear that. But I'm sure he would love to hear that. So,
hey,
it's always his stuff is always interesting.
So he's definitely, you know, I think he likes to come off as a pain in the ass and he's so hard to deal with and all of that. But really, he's such an intelligent person. He's so great at what he does. And it's true that I was thinking about when he mentioned the first time that I spoke with him, he suggested that I take my book and record it in chapters and do an audiobook and then also make it into a podcast. And it took me a while to do it, but he was right because more people will consume my book. The way that I finally, now I'm just battling how to get the freaking thing. It's not as easy as it seems, let me tell you. Getting an audiobook on Audible. Just saying.
Good. You can teach the rest of us.
That's definitely a teachable
moment. That could be something
we
put on our Patreon page.
Oh, yeah. Where can they find the Patreon page?
That is such a great question. Patreon.com/Warners. Become a subscriber to that. So many great things you can get over there. That's bonus footage. Shit.
So let's talk about Donnie Bovine a little more. He started, you started your relationship with him when he was on your other podcast.
The Pivotal Leader. Actually, I started a relationship with him. Actually, he did an episode on the Pivotal Leader. And then it was right in the beginning of the launch of our Women Your Mother Warned You About. So I've probably known him about a year and a half now. And that's how he came into our radar and entered my life and then entered your life. And he's like that little brother of ours. Sometimes, you know, like you can annoy you once in a while because he's got this edge to him. Maybe for me. Maybe he's a little brother to me.
Okay, we'll go with that. We'll go with that. Donnie is changing the game of business development. At the age of 22, right out of the Marine Corps, he struggled with what to do next and landed his first straight commission sales job. I spent over two decades learning what it takes to be successful in sales. And at the age of 40, he discovered he'd been living other people's dreams, and he talks about that, and not chasing his own. And he launched his own business, and then he drove that shit right into the ground.
Yeah, he did.
And learned a great deal. He became one of the world's top podcasters and started changing lives. And he knows how to help you change your mindset and up your game. His story about becoming a success champion in his own life has inspired thousands to get out of their own way and go for it. He definitely, he's a straight shooter, tell it like it is kind of guy. And he definitely, I can see how helpful he can be for people to meet themselves.
And I love how he, you know, I've watched him, you've watched him, like he's so great at constant reinvention, and as a business owner, but just as a human being, especially with what we've been going through, you have to be in reinvention mindset. And I think one of the things that resonated most with me that he said was the part about failure, because I'm always a big advocate of failure. And especially when he says fail on purpose, which is something that we do in improv. We try to break something and try to see if we can innovate on breaking something. But I think the other thing that really was like a really great aha is, you know, not worrying about what others think about you. And if you are, it's because you haven't met yourself yet. You don't like yourself yet. And so I thought that was a really great conversation.
You guys will enjoy Donnie. So why don't we get started and meet Donnie Bovine.
Welcome, Donnie, to Women Your Mother Warned You About.
I've been looking forward to the show.
Yay. It's not one of those uppity shows.
We are not uppity, but we do. There is a difference between the north end of the Grand Strand and the south end of the Grand Strand. As far as like driving, right? So like even when I'm in Dallas, I don't visit you because it just seems like such a long drive to Fort Worth from Dallas.
Well, it is. I mean, people don't realize there's actually 45 minutes in between two cities.
Yeah. What's the mileage? I can't even remember.
It's like 26, 30 miles. I mean, in between them. But like everywhere in the United States now, if you jump in a car, because commuting just sucks ass, you jump in a car and you're stuck for the next 45 minutes or an hour.
Yeah.
So every unless time, you're like in Boston, then you're stuck for like 4 hours. Yeah. But
or LA. Yeah. So back to Donnie.
As it should be.
As it should be. Donnie has been in our life for quite some time. My life a little bit longer. Now Rachel is blessed to have him in her life too. So
I blew her mind the first time Rachel sat across. She didn't want to sit across from me.
Yeah, that's exactly what she said to me when after she got done talking.
She's like, dude, that guy's such an asshole.
She's like, oh my God, Donnie is the best.
I don't even know.
I'm making all this shit up.
Gina and I are improving. Would you leave us alone a second?
Can we have our private time, please? I loved your message this morning. You're going to be late for your first day of class.
Well, you know, some of us got to run a business.
Some of us, yeah, me too.
I really could bust your chops and say I didn't get a calendar invite.
I already heard that from one of your associates. So
oh,
that's
I know. He's like, did you get anything from Gina? I'm like, no, it'll pop
now,
up.
We're having a little technical problem with MailChimp right now. No,
well,
seriously.
It's MailChimp.
Well, there's that too. So I'm no, seriously, like that we could go get in a whole technology conversation. MailChimp is literally taking all of our contacts.
We should never get in a technology conversation. That's why I have Kevin, because he does all that shit for me. And that's why you're catching hell from him.
Oh, well,
because
then Kevin
that's his worst.
Okay, well then I'm gonna hire Kevin. Fine.
Yeah,
anyway,
do that.
Moving on. Let's we're just like brother and sister here.
Right.
So well, let's talk a little bit about you. First of all, I always fuck up your last name.
Don't worry, everybody does. It is Bovine.
Bovine.
I'm going to do like a Gary Vee episode where he's like Vaynerchuk.
Bovine.
But if you spell it
Bovine,
B-O hyphen V-E-E-N, you'll get it phonetically correct. I think that's the right word, phonetically.
Okay, Bovine. Donnie Bovine.
Yeah, I would have totally messed that up. I didn't like.
I went through Marine Corps boot camp with this last name. I was a fucking cow for like 6 months. Because everybody wants to call me Bovine.
Yes, that's what I think about every time. I can't help it. That's a perfect segue. Let's talk about your military background, because sure. I've always been fascinated. Anybody who works, anybody with a military background, and by the way, thank you for your service. I'm always interested in hearing about that walk of life and how it's affected your journey in life and business. So just a little bit, tell us a little bit more about your journey from military to business.
Lots of rum. So I drank a little bit before I went in the Marine Corps, a lot more after I got out. The Marine Corps was a fun ride. You know, looking back on the choice to go in, I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. I'm not a guy that likes authority. I don't like being told what to do. I don't like rules. And yet I went to one of the most disciplined military outfits in the world. Good job, Donnie. In some circles, the Marine Corps was exactly where I needed to be, because it knocked a big ass chip off my shoulder, and knocked a lot of cockiness out of me, if you can believe that. Right. Yes.
I was noticing. I was thinking that as you were talking.
Somebody needs to be fired.
But you know, in another sense, it forced me to grow up a little bit. You know, I was a kid that no direction, no clue what the fuck I wanted to be when I grew up, you know, type thing. And you know, the Marine Corps, my oldest brother had gone, so I went because he went. It wasn't like I really was like, okay, I'm ready to be, you know, defend the country or be some badass, or no, it was just something to do because I was heading down a stupid track. I was going to get a lot of fucking trouble for being an idiot. So, you know, I just signed up and went. Did 4 years and a lot of crazy ass stories that I will never tell. A lot of good stories that I will tell. But you know, after I got out, I think like most guys when they get out of the military, I was fucking lost. I mean, luckily my best friend and his old man, you know, had an HVAC company, heating and air conditioning company, and I went to work for them. But most of my friends couldn't find work, the guys that I got out of the Marine Corps with. And what people don't understand is two things. Being a veteran, being in the military means fucking nothing in corporate America. Absolutely means jack and shit. So, you know, by the time I, you know, got going in sales and everything else to the point where I was working for a Fortune 500 in St. Louis and coming up through their sales ranks, selling franchises for them, and a vice president of the company, massive company, pulls me aside and says, "Look, dude, you got to stop two things." I said, "Okay, what's that?" He goes, "First, lose the fucking twang. You can't say y'all in corporate America and fucking make it. As soon as you get the hillbilly twang, they see you as a fucking idiot and you will not climb."
Wow.
He goes, "Second, stop telling people you're a fucking veteran. It means nothing in corporate America." Guys, and everybody always looks at me like that, like he was an asshole. He was not an asshole. He was 100% spot the fuck on.
Wow.
Right? And it becomes down to is, one, most veterans lean on it like it's a privilege. Right? Because I went through it, you should give me X. Very much like what people don't seem to like about millennials, which I fucking love millennials. But the second side of thing is your military skills don't translate. They literally mean nothing in corporate America whatsoever. Really? And so what I tell everybody, like, look, dude, if you were a badass in the military, then fucking go get a job in corporate America and then work as hard as you did in the military and watch how fucking fast you climb, right? It's really that simple. Quit being this guy that you believe you deserve all this great badassery. But I get to say that because I'm a veteran, right?
Yeah.
And this is not banging on veterans at all. You know, this is about what everybody needs to do is get down, lace up your fucking boots and get to work and watch good things happen. But I found that also once I got rid of the twang, which I really, I mean, I didn't have much of an accent, but I said y'all all the time and everything else. And if I did it in a meeting, you could watch the corporates, you know, freaking almost cringe when I came out with the twang and everything. So for 10 years of my corporate career, nobody knew I was a Marine. Nobody knew I grew up on a farm. I mean, I hid all of that shit because I, rightfully so, if you're going to play the corporate game and you're going to climb the corporate ladder to do the suit wearing, you know, follow in line type career, then yeah, that shit's of no value. But that's also why I found myself completely staying in a sales career where none of that shit fucking mattered. And I told everybody I was a Marine. I told people I grew up on a fucking farm and I came myself, right? And that's where I found the sales side of things. But if you're trying to be Mr. Fall in Line, Mrs. Fall in Line, you know, anything, then your past has no value in the current future.
Do you still honestly feel that way today? Like if you were to give someone advice America, on 100%. That.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, with the way the world is going right now and changes and really paying attention to people's needs to stand in their value and stand in who they are.
It's irrelevant in corporate America. Completely irrelevant. They do not give a shit. Corporate America does not have emotions.
But don't you think that that needs to change or it should change?
In my opinion, I think if people are dumb enough to go work for somebody else versus creating your own world, then fuck it. You deserve what you get.
Unless you find an organization that does not have that attitude 100%. Of not giving a shit, right? If you understand their culture.
Absolutely. But most companies don't give a shit about culture, right? Most companies are out to make a buck. And there's very few companies. I mean, once you get into the corporate game, you'll see it. And as soon as you bring emotion into corporate America, you're in trouble.
Oh, no. I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there. I didn't last. I was specifically called out for it. I was told I was too emotional.
Yep.
Literally told by the CEO that I needed to stop that.
I was too aggressive.
Well, I got that. And then I got the I make decisions based on my intuition, and that needed to stop.
Yeah, I mean, the way to get promoted in corporate America is shut up and do what you're told. Right? That's it. And if you don't shut up and do what you're told and follow the lines and follow the rules, then you're not going to get promoted. You got to look a certain way. You got to act a certain way. And you got to be a certain way. And this is why, you know, I always found myself in these different types of sales roles was in a more blue-collar side of things. Because I could set my own schedule. I could work my own agendas. Now, I still, you know, had dress codes and things like that. But you know, for the most part, sales became my first freedom. Because as long as I hit my numbers, right, yeah, nobody gave a shit.
That's all they care about.
Yep. Yep.
Hit your numbers and they put up with salespeople who are different, obnoxious, a pain in the ass, which most salespeople are, right? We're cut from
which
a different
fascinating
cloth.
Is the people that I call GSDs, the get shit done, which is the three of us sitting here, right?
Mm-hmm.
The get shit done people, as soon as you put us in a box, we'll fight. Right? We're going to pick fight.
I suffocate just thinking about being put in a box.
Well, and here's the interesting thing, is it takes the GSDs to really move a company. Because they're the ones that are going to be your salespeople out front making big deals happen, making big shit happen. And
they're your squeaky wheels.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I got called a lone wolf so many times because, you know, they would set a number in front of me. And I'm like, okay, cool. That's the number. Let's go get that. And then I hit the number. Then I'd stop selling. Because what's the fucking point after that? I don't get any bonuses. I don't get shit after that. And they're like, you're such a freaking loose wheel. You know, you're a lone wolf. You don't want to hang out in the companies and everything else. I said, why? I'm not paid to do all that shit. Right? I'm paid to go get it done. So I go get it done. You know, all along the way. But that's why we don't fit mainstream. But, you know, still crazy for me is I played that game for 40 years or 20 years until I was 40
years. Damn, you look good.
I look amazing, right? Hey, it's guys, we don't get older. We get distinguished. Big difference.
Oh, yeah. You say that all the time. And my response to you is women get sexier.
I love it. I love it. I say classier, but we'll go with sexier.
Well, speaking of sexier and you going against the grain and we being the women, not girls. Just for clarity.
I met it. They're editing the episode before that we did on my podcast.
Yeah, when is that episode?
Like, it'll be out either today or tomorrow.
Okay, so as the women your mother warned you about. We obviously can't call you a woman. Well, we could, but we won't. I'm going to call you the man our mothers warned us about. So how would you define a man that your mother, or a woman that your mother warned you about?
You know, I was talking to Mike Michalowicz, a really good guy. He did the Fix This Next book. He's done a clockwork. He's done a bunch of cool books, right? Profit First is probably his biggest one. And he said a phrase that described what it was like being married to an entrepreneur. And I just love it. So I'm going to go that direction. And what he said is being married to an entrepreneur is like you're sitting in the passenger seat. The entrepreneur is driving a car. They're driving well over 100 miles an hour. There's no seat belts and there's no steering wheel. And I thought, well, that pretty much describes everything I put my wife through. Because, you know, running a business and going, it requires somebody to have one foot on fucking insanity, one foot grabbing their balls and saying, watch out, world, here the fuck I come, and then passing a beer off saying, hold my beer and watch this shit. Because to become something bigger in this world, you got to go all in, not give a fuck what anybody thinks, and get after it. Do the action. It's not massive action. It's consistent action. And continuing to move forward, even when everybody else is telling you you shouldn't.
Ooh, love it.
You know,
that, love it. Follow-up question to that, because I think this is an important one. Because it comes up a lot. It's come up for both Rachel and I individually, but it comes up with just about everybody. How do you stop giving a fuck what everybody thinks?
I think it's hard. But I think everybody walks around with a whiteboard on their chest and they hand somebody else the marker and they literally say on a regular basis, please write on here what you think I'm worth. Right. And they walk around constantly trying to ask others to tell them what their value and worth is. The only way you can start flipping that script to get people to stop giving a shit about what people think is fucking start liking yourself as you are, as a fucking person. Because the reason you give a shit what people think is because you don't like who you are as a person. And odds are it's probably because you haven't met that fucking person yet. See, I didn't fully meet me until I launched a business and ran the fucking thing straight in the ground. Because as a salesperson, I was good, right? It wasn't a natural born salesperson. I freaking figured it out and got good at it. So it wasn't hard for me. It wasn't a big leap to be good in sales. So, but if anybody would have asked me, I would have told you, yeah, I'm the best sales guy around. You know, I'll crush anything you put in front of me and I'll kill it. And I really thought I knew who I was. But it wasn't till I ran my business into the ground before I rebuilt it. And I had nobody in the world left to blame but me. Did I go, oh my fucking God, there I am. Because up until that point, I had no idea who I was because I don't want to say life was easy, but it was easier. I didn't put myself in situations where I had to fight. I didn't put myself in situations where I had to learn. I did what needed to get done to get where I wanted to go. And so when there's no excuses left, your success is on you, your losses are on you, fuck, you meet yourself really, really quick. And I got to be honest, I didn't necessarily like who I met when I first
I was just gonna ask you that. I think Rachel might be able to chime in. I know I can chime in. There are days where I do not like who I met.
Yeah. And I think it because
I put her on timeout or put her in a corner. Or
well, I mean, for me, I grew up on a sales world where you got the deal done no matter what. Right? That means a lot of my business dealings were transactional. You know, I just got the fucking deals done. Right? I always believe the philosophy was this. There's always two sales. Sales one is to get the deal done outside the business. Sale number two is to get the deal done inside the business. And that's when you're convincing everybody else the shit you just sold was a good deal in the first place. Right? And so that was always my philosophy. Is my job is to go get it. And I never screwed anybody in a sales deal. But I guarantee that I did a lot of shit to make sure the sales came in, no matter what. I was going to get those sales in. And I think it forced me to live two lives because I didn't really like Sales Donnie. So Sales Donnie showed up for work, corporate America, the 8-to-5 type, never 8-to-5, but, you know, 8-to-5 type world. And that's who came out all the time. But when I went home, I was a rum drinking, wishing I was living on a farm, you know, hair crazy, wearing a ball cap, t-shirts, fucking foul mouth, the whole nine yards. But I couldn't always bring that guy to work because that guy wasn't getting deals. You could.
You'd just get fired.
Right. So it was interesting when I started, you know, really meeting me for the first time, this whole idea of, holy fuck, I can be totally me and make more money because I'm finding more people that are into me, my brand, my message, and who I am, and be authentic on the shit that I want to connect with people with. That's where people screws up authenticity. People are like, you got to be authentic. You got to be authentic. And they think that means share everything about your fucking life. No, that's not what it means to be authentic. You're authentic in the places you want to connect with people on the same shit you geek out on. This is why I talk about farming. This is why I cuss. This is where I wear t-shirts and ball caps and boots. And, you know, I just me, because I want those people that go, fuck, that's just the dude I want to hang out with. And that's what it means to be authentic. And that's what I had to find. But it took me damn near losing everything that I had, except my wife. That girl's fucking amazing. Lose almost everything I had to get to that point where it was okay to be me. So to answer your question, you know, how do people stop giving a shit what other people think? You got to fucking like yourself. Because once you do, it doesn't give a matter what anybody else fucking thinks. Mm-hmm. And that's the tough part for people.
Hey, Warner, it's just a quick reminder. If you love this episode, share the love. Share it with someone. Share this episode or the show with a friend. Pass the link on. Promote it on social media, on the interwebs. Share the show. Share the love. And now back to the show.
Yeah, that's the hard part, because some people don't want to look in the mirror. And I think it's some of the hardest work I've ever done is, you know, I'm in recovery from being a crazy addict, and it's the majority of any type of 12-step program is like look in the mirror and bring every scenario back to yourself and what's your part in it and take your own inventory each day and all that stuff. And it's not easy to do. And Gene and I, we always talk about therapy, and most therapy, the scary part about therapy for people is that you actually are sitting with somebody who's guiding you inward, and what, who you meet there is sometimes not comfortable.
No, well said. It's I did a lot of therapy as a kid because mom and dad were trying to figure out what the fuck was the matter with me, because I was just an asshole.
Something's wrong with him, doctor, for sure.
Well, there was actually one therapist that finally helped me out. He pulled me in. I'm like a sophomore in high school at this point, and he's like, "Dude, what the fuck is your problem?" And he's like talking to me like a real person. I said, "I don't know what the fuck you mean." He's like, "Why are you such an ass?" And I said, "I don't know." He goes, "Why do you think your parents have you sitting here?" And I'm like, because they're worried I'm going to end up just like fucking them. They're worried that I'm not going to freaking go big in life, and they see a lot of potential in me, and they're worried that I'm not going to fucking do something awesome with my life, that I'm just going to fucking settle. And he goes, "All right, cool. Get out of here." Pulled mom and dad in and said, he knows it. He knows he's going to hit fucking rock bottom, and it's going to take him to hit rock bottom and go. Let him go. Let him fall flat on his fucking face, and he'll fight. And he was right. I mean, it just took a lot of years later for it to happen, you know, but he was right, you know. And
When did the rock? When did the rock bottom happen? Is that when you?
That like, when I drove the company into the ground. Yeah. Okay. So I mean, up to that point, my wife and I had bought our dream farm. You know, we got our Victorian house on our acreage with all the animals and everything else. I built a second house on the property for my in-laws, and you know, we were really enjoying life. Well, 6 months into running my business, I'm standing across from my wife, going, "Baby, we're about to fucking lose everything." 3 months behind on mortgages, cars that are fucking talking about getting repoed. I'm trying to figure out even how to pay the lights. And so if I lose my house, my in-laws or my mother-in-law, my father-in-law passed away, my mother-in-law loses her fucking house because it's on my property. It's all part of the whole fucking shebang, you know. And my wife said one sentence that changed it all. She said, "Get off your ass and go fucking sell something." And I did. I started fighting again. And, you know, we figured it out and I rebuilt the company, Success Champions, and now it is what it is today. But it was in that moment when I realized that my entire sales career was based on what somebody else wanted me to do. It was based on somebody giving me direction, somebody always saying, "Hey, here's where you got to get to," that I went, holy fuck, my entire life is a series of excuses. And what I mean by that is if my sales were down, oh, the fucking economy sucked. You know, if my sales are down, oh, the leads were shitty. You know, whatever it was, there was an excuse for the bad times. Now here I was fucking way behind on bills, fucking everything else. I had no excuses left. It was all my fault. And I had to come to terms with that. And that's a portion of what really started to get me fighting. And then that's where I understood success is 100% your fault. So is failure. Own both of them. Put I want that on a t-shirt because I just pulled that out of my ass.
Yeah.
You, that's a good one.
T-shirt.
Yeah. It's for me is the more you show up in the world as who you are, then you don't have to remember the stories to tell. You don't have to remember the promises you made. You don't, I mean, mm-hmm. because it's just you.
Yeah.
And as you are walking through everyday life and maintain just who the fuck you are, then you meet some really cool badasses along the way. And I think that's, you know, in addition to finding me, that's the other cool thing is now I seem to attract these get shit done badasses that have said, fuck the corporate path. Right. And are creating their own path in life. And there's this common bond of fuck, we've seen some shit. But we're still here. We're still fucking fighting.
And, you know, even at the time of this recording, what's going on in the world with COVID and everything else that's going on, you know, I don't know about you. You probably not, but I have these moments of like, I mean, I'll be honest and transparent. I have these moments of, why the fuck am I doing this? Maybe I should go back to corporate and get a job, although they're not hiring right now. But you know, I have these moments, and I was going through this the other day, and just for shits and giggles, I'm looking at jobs online, and I see all these sales manager jobs. You know, it's you have, you know, we some of us have these down moments, and for the hell of it, I'll go and just see what's out there. And I see all these sales manager jobs and I start reading these descriptions. I'm like, all these fuckers need my help. And they all became prospect leads. I was like, but you know, that's the, you know, Rachel and I often talk about the book, A Beautiful Constraint. And so in that weak moment, when I went and did that, I was like, oh my gosh, I just got a whole new list of prospects. This is amazing. And it just recharged me. And no, sometimes you gotta go find that thing to recharge you because it's not always so easy. And when I got sick 4 years ago, and I did get a job temporarily because I needed to get back on my feet and get the business back on its feet, I said, I will never do this again. Never go back to corporate. And then I remembered that the other day. I'm like, remember that promise you made? You would never go back.
Well, yeah, I think – any entrepreneur, anybody that started their own business, because there's a difference between a business owner and an entrepreneur, but anybody who started their own business and has run it for any period of time has checked out the classifieds going, okay, what job should I go back and get if they're fucking honest? Because
yeah, just being honest.
It's a bitch. I don't do it anymore. Because I think we've gotten the company, you know, to that fun level. And one thing that did help me, though, when I was down in those moments of, fuck, what do I do? Kind of that crossroads. Do I go get a job? One, I reminded myself how fucking miserable I was, right? Yeah. Which always works well. But two, I'm like, can I turn that energy and fucking do some prospect? Can I just reach out to some fucking people? Can I get into some conversations?
Yeah.
You know, and it just reinforces, you know, all these assholes talk about massive action. You got to take massive action to make move. Fuck you. You just got to be consistent and show the fuck up every day. Mm-hmm. Right. If you take massive action, you're going to find yourself in a fucking hospital. Right.
Yeah.
It's 100% about doing what you should be doing on a regular and consistent basis and keep moving the fuck forward. Goes back to my favorite quote every time I say this. I just love it. It's Rocky Balboa, man. Life's not about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can take a hit and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. And I mean, that is probably been the greatest phrase to keep me moving forward in the business, is to take the fucking hits.
That's a great quote. I love that.
You know, and it's cool. It's one of the last Rockies before he started doing the Apollo movies. And he's talking to his son, and it's just fucking badass to watch him talk to his son that way. But I think that's everything. Is, look, nobody else is going to bet on you. Nobody else thinks you're going to make it. Nobody else thinks you're going to be a success. They're actually all secretly hoping you fucking fail so they can feel better about them damn self. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And they're all fucking jealous that you had the balls to get out and start a business, do something for yourself. Right. But they're all rooting for you to fucking lose. Right. This is why I called my company Success Champions. You got to be your own fucking champion. Because nobody else is, right? Yeah. Nobody's going to fucking step out front and say, come on, follow me. We got this. No, no, no. You got to grab a hold and say, fuck it. Watch this.
And I agree with you mostly. I do think that there are some people along the way.
Well, he's full of shit otherwise.
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, everyone is going to be most concerned about themselves, and they should be, right? We all have our own personal agendas. And I do believe and agree that most people like to see us fail, especially if you're a woman your mother warned you about or a man that your mother warned you about. Every now and then you find a gem in your tribe. Once you've gotten to the point of liking yourself and being able to push forward, you will start to attract a tribe of people that can be your mentors, either mentored up or mentored down, right? Because there are different people that can show up in your life as mentors. And even if you have a down moment, I've had these down moments where there has been someone who's reached their arm out and said, come on, you got this. Come on. Or maybe they're a little bit smarter than me and they have a little more information that's going to take me to the next level. It's few and far between, but I do think that there are some people out there that exist.
No,
I actually give a shit about you.
100% agree with that. But if you look for those people and are constantly trying to find them, that's when you're going to get yourself in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You can't look for them.
No.
They'll actually find you. Yeah, they find you. I mean, I look for them. Yeah.
I had a guy that's running one of my virtual networking groups call me up the other day, and he was damn near in tears when he was talking to me. He said, dude, I just want to let you know, you're such a fucking inspiration to watch what you're building and creating. He goes, I'm just fucking proud of you. You know, and that's a cool fucking thing to hear. Right? Because nobody hears somebody's proud of them enough. Right? Yeah. I told that to one of my clients a few months back, and she totally bawled, lost her everything. I mean, was just crying like ugly girl cry. And she goes, I haven't had somebody tell me they were proud of me since my parents died. You know, and so at that moment was a big teaching moment for me. I'm like, fuck, I got to tell people I'm proud of them when they do the right shit more often. You know, because we just don't do it as enough. You know, and so
that's a great learning lesson.
Yeah. I definitely grew up with great parents, but they didn't say I love you very freely, and they didn't say I'm proud of you really freely. And I went through years and years of thinking my dad wasn't really proud of me, like wondering, you know, until I experienced like third party of his staff and his clients, like, mm-hmm. your dad yeah. always talks about you and he's so proud of you. And then I was like, oh, I get it. He's just not, that's just not his, it's not natural to him. So therefore I tell my daughter, I love you all the time. And I tell her I'm proud of her all the time because I just wanted it yeah. so badly. Probably fucked me up somewhere along the way.
Well, I think there's a lot more than that to fuck you up. But you know, we'll go with that.
I fucked me up pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm finding myself in a really, this current situation, this office that I'm sitting in right now is the closest to corporate America I've ever been. I work for U.S. Mortgage Corporation. And I'm a salesperson. Like, I don't get paid. I get paid for what I, you know, kill and drag back, if you will. I love that analogy. I'm out there like hunting and gathering and dragging shit back, and then I hand it off to the processors. But it is still a corporate environment. It's interesting because I've always been in the arts world and then in the sales world and real estate, and I've always been outside of it. But it's definitely, and of course, it didn't take me long to go, I need to start that other business again. Just, but I still make people scratch their heads by the way that I do my marketing and, you know, pull my arts background in. I keep people scratching their heads.
Well, you continue, I think, Rachel, to be a kind of a renegade as far as that goes.
And yeah, just follow her TikTok.
I mean, she pushes the envelope, right? And that doesn't necessarily always work in corporate unless, again, it goes back to if you can find a culture that will. I mean, think of some, like, can you think of some business would be like, what the fuck is this broad doing? Singing lender.
Oh, they definitely are, but they also can't say anything because I'm bringing in volume. Answer. They're like, okay, that's her niche, and she's unlike anything we've ever seen. If you can take mortgage and do music videos that are fun and interesting, then you're on.
Well, you know, when I was doing sales training, that's one thing I always told everybody. Look, you want to get somebody off your back, be number one. If you're number one, they're going to leave you the fuck alone.
Yep.
It's second. It's right. Number 2 through 20 that will be like, step up your game. What the fuck? But that's how I got away with some of the shit that I got away with.
And that's a really excellent point, because I remember in my corporate days with IMAX Corporation, my theater was number one or in the top. Well, it was in the top five for the world for revenue, and they just let me do crazy shit, even though it annoyed them, because they're like, "Well, she's producing and she's turning that business around," and I'm like, they just left me alone. I was the kid that just ran away with things.
Yeah. When I did commercial printing, I mean, I'd bring in some of these massive accounts, and the pricing that I would get to do it, even the president of the company every once in a while would go in and goes, did you really promise all that shit for this price? I'm like, just hold on. And then, you know, a few months later, we'd be doing millions of dollars worth of business with this company because we just need to get in the fucking door. So they learned really quick to fucking just let him do his thing.
Just let him do
his thing. It's going to come out. And, you know, there was company picnics that I didn't fucking go to. There was, you know, all this stuff that I just wasn't necessarily a part of. Because I just didn't give a shit. My job was to go sell something. And, you know, so, I mean, it comes back to that. So when you're in the top of your game, everybody leaves you alone.
And at the same time, you're going to have haters.
Oh, fuck yes.
Right? I mean,
The people that come out of the woodworks are like, well, they get all the good leads, or they you know, have the good territory, or they have the, fuck you.
Or they're like, why does he get to do that?
Right.
Oh, just because he's the rainmaker? That's not fair. Everybody should be treated the same.
And the answer is fucking outwork me, right? That's it. You want it? Outwork me. There's only one guy in all the companies I ever sold for that I never outsold. Fucker pissed me off. And every time I went big, he went bigger. Right? That's the environment you want in. You want two fucking lone wolves duking it the fuck out to try and be number one. You want to grow a company fast, that's how you grow fast.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I the way I approach, I just had a phone call this morning where I got like a shout out of having a really great sales month last month, and I honestly was like, I'm so glad that you shared that, because I had no idea that that's where I stood. I'm just out there getting shit done. My head is down. I'm, you know, doing the deal. If you get too caught up in whether it's just the way I see it, if I get too caught up in whatever the number is, then I get worried about that, what that number is. I'm just like, motoring forward, doing the phone calls, creating the content, talking to people, like getting it done. That's just my approach. And but yeah, the competition thing, when I see, oh, I'm like number three, how can I get to number one? You know, it's that part's
well,
fun.
I think that's one of the distinguishing factors of my get shit done people. You know, so like when we're launching all these virtual networking groups across the world right now, I get to get shit done people at the top, because now I take the presidents of each chapter. I'm like, all right, let's have a member drive. And you watch all these fucking people who are like, all right, put me in, coach. Let's figure this shit out. And they start competing with one another. And it's friendly. It's fun. But in the back of their mind, they're like, fuck you. I'm going to kick all their asses, which is what I want. You know, and you know, cool shit happens because you're naturally using their strengths, their talents, to put their skill sets to the test that they're naturally wired and programmed in their DNA to do. And you let them fucking run.
Yeah, they don't have to be you. They don't have to be Donnie.
Right. 100%.
And well, let's talk a little bit about that before we wrap up the show. More about Success Champions and more about these networking groups across the world. Tell us more about that.
Sure. So Success Champions started off as I was going to be the next biggest motivational speaker in the world. That was my mission. And then I realized nobody knew who the fuck I was, so nobody was hiring me to speak. So this whole idea
of being funny how that happens.
Yeah,
like that.
Right? It's amazing that you actually got to have a brand out there to be successful in that market. Who knew? The business evolved, and for me, everything leads back to sales because that's just my background. People just seem to like the way I break down sales very much Big Bird style. So when I launched the podcast, I launched it originally because I wanted to hear other people's stories. I wanted to hear what they went through to get through success, because as I launched it, I was just coming out of one of the shittiest times in my life trying to rebuild the company. And so I wanted to hear these successful stories. And I think that's part of the reason that it took off as well as it did. And then from the podcast, we launched the Facebook group. And then from the Facebook group, we launched the magazine. And things just kept going and going and going, all the way up until we were going to do the Badass Business Summit. And I'd rented out the Hearst Convention Center here in Fort Worth, Texas, and we were bringing in 12 speakers from around the world to talk on business development, sales, write your book, get on stages. And then COVID happened. And literally the city shut us down. I finally got a phone call from the city saying, look, dude, you cannot have this convention. We will literally lock the doors and nobody will get in. I'm like, all right, we're officially postponed. So we postponed it till September of 2020. Well, in the meantime, I'd been doing business online, teaching business development, sales, and everything until, you know, for almost 3 years at that point. And I looked at the team and said, okay, we got to figure out right now how to help small businesses. Most of them have never done business online. How do we help them right now grow and scale their businesses? And I sent them off to go try and figure it out. Well, that same night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I pop out of bed like you do when you're a business owner, because you can't turn your fucking mind off. If your mind turns off, then you're not a fucking business owner. I can promise you that, because you're not working hard enough. And I went, holy fuck, I built a lot of my sales training business, which I did millions of dollars in sales training. I built that all through networking and building networking groups and everything else. I bet I can do these fucking things virtually. So when I used to do networking groups in person, what I would do is I'd go to organizations like BNI, the chambers, or rotaries. In each one of those groups, there's usually only one or two people that are actually out growing and scaling their business. Everybody else is looking for a fucking handout because they don't know how to go sell outside of a networking group. right? They only know how to sell inside that group. So I would go grab the two badasses out of that group, and I started forming my own groups. And I started putting these groups of just these elite badass salespeople, business owners together, and seeing what happened and what we ended up doing was we were doing millions of dollars in referral on a monthly basis. Because if you got people that are actively outgrowing and scaling their businesses, they can open some fucking doors for you as long as you're working as hard as they are. Yeah. So when we launched these virtual networking groups, Success Champions Networking, what we did is we're like, all right, I want the second tier networker. I want the badasses who get shit done and go out and sell and understand that this networking group is only a portion of their business. So we launched this 2 months ago. And as of the day of this recording, we now have 20 chapters across, or 19 across the U.S. We just opened our first chapter in Canada, and we're continuing to grow and scale by bringing elite badasses together for once a week, 1 hour per week, and allowing them to do virtual networking. In addition to that networking, we're also bringing in the sales and business development training. So every member that joins one of the chapters also gets ongoing training and coaching and business development and sales advice from me as well. So that's it in a nutshell. It's been a fucking hell of a ride.
That is super cool.
I truthfully have a mission to change the way people do networking. I love BNI. I love the Rotary. I love all those because they do all the training and shit and things that I don't want to do. They're training people how to network. They're training people how to get their business. Good. When the cream rises to the top, I want them fuckers. I want them to come play. Let's really go big. Right? So those organizations, everything are amazing. But literally, you put a bunch of badasses in a room and say, let's go grow a business and watch what fucking happens. You know, and I think it's where a lot of people screw up in business is a lot of people in business are trying to save the world. You can't save the world. You got to get selfish as fuck, save yourself first, and then go after the badasses. And what's cool is when you work with the badasses, the ones that actually want to do something, then you're helping the world through osmosis because they're watching the climb. And then they start doing the shit you're telling these badasses to do. But that's the only way you can actually impact and change the world is you got to go after the action takers. You got to go after the get shit done people and then watch what they do with the knowledge and things you get them. And I promise if anybody's starting a business, if you go after the action takers, your business will grow a hell of a lot faster than going after the broke dick people that can't help themselves or really truly have no desire to help themselves.
Mike, drop.
Y'all gave me a pedestal, so I was going to take it.
I like it. So true. There's get shit done people, and then there's the... that's not my job, people.
Oh. Yes. And then there's the hand it to me people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're the same. They hang out together.
If people want to know more about those networking groups or Success Champions, what's the best way for them to do that?
So I have a gift for all your people.
Ooh, we love gifts.
One of the things that I sucked at was putting out content on a regular basis. Absolutely sucked at it at the gate. So I went and learned, studied, and tried to figure out everything I could. How could I create content? So of 3 years of hiring people, firing people, building teams and everything else, we came up with a pretty cool strategy of how to create endless amount of content in about 20 minutes.
Ooh, so, that's juicy.
You like that?
That's so juicy. Yeah.
In my private business development Facebook groups and everything that I run, that's all part of Success Champions Networking, I taught a class on how to create all this virtual content in about 20 minutes. And literally, you can record one video and make all this massive amount of content. So if your people listening will text, I am a success champion, to 817-318-6030, I will send them that video for free. So it's a 45-minute class I did teaching step-by-step how to use all the tools that we use, and all the tools are free. So literally by watching this video, going downloading these tools, you can create a massive amount of content. So 817-318-6030, text I am a success champion, and I'll send that right to you. Otherwise,
Rachel, Rachel, did you write that down? I see you writing.
Okay. Yes.
So if you guys will follow Success Champions where we are, anywhere you put in Success Champions, we're going to pop up and you can find us there.
Awesome. Cool.
So can I do one last thing? Because I know we're fixing to wrap up. So
you can.
Cool. Guys, do me a favor.
Yeah.
If anybody listening to this got any value out of this show, they got one little nugget, they got one little piece of advice, or one little piece of inspiration, anything they found of value, do me the greatest favor and go teach somebody else how to listen to these latest shows. They're putting out amazing content. They're showing up for you on a regular basis. And if you're getting anything out of it, the greatest gift for them, yes, a review is nice. Yes, you know, subscribing is nice. But the ultimate gift that you can tell these ladies thank you for what they're doing is to teach somebody else how to listen to their show. Literally grab somebody's phone, put their podcast on there, and say, you've got to listen to the show. Send them a private message, send them a text, something, and tell them to listen to the women your mother warned you about. I almost fucked it up again.
Thank you. Now I don't have to do that now at the end. So I appreciate that. That absolutely. It's like a double gift.
Right?
Yeah, you saved me from having to say it.
I try and tell people I'm more than sexy blue eyes and, you know, great personality and charm and really good looks and
and all that.
He's actually awesomely smart too.
I'm just a complete package.
You are.
Except
for
the beer gut a little bit. I'm working on it, but
you are a peck.
And he also has some goats.
He does. Sometimes you can hear them.
Yeah.
You can hear them in the background. I asked him that one day. I'm like, is that like a phone? Like, is that like a ringtone? He's like, no, that's actually goats.
Hey, for about a month, I had a baby goat sitting behind me because we were nursing it back to health. Mom had a really, really tough delivery, had triplets, and only one of them made it. And so we had to have a C-section done and everything. So we were literally nursing it back to health. He survived. His name is now Champion. He's the company mascot now. So,
love it.
So he's a pain in my ass.
Like you.
Of course.
He's like
of course.
You.
So, but yeah, no, we got goats, ducks, chickens, geese, guinea hens, rabbits, dogs, cats, and we just got, I keep calling them a flying squirrel. It's not a flying squirrel. Sugar glider. That's it. I always forget they are. Just got a sugar glider. So I just took an old China hutch and pulled all the glass out of it and put fencing on the inside of it, so we turned a huge ass China hutch into this whole mansion for this damn sugar glider in the house.
I want to see pictures of that.
Yeah, my wife took pictures. She's supposed to be sending them to me. So yeah, I'll put them in the group for too long.
Well, hey, we love you.
Thank you guys so much for having me on.
We love having you on the show. We love being on your show. We love being part of your champions. So thank you when you invite us in and for all that you give to us and to our listeners, our Warners. One more time before we send you on your way, if you want to give that information just one more time for people on how they can connect with you.
Absolutely. Send I am a success champion to 817-318-6030. So, I am a success champion.
Is that your personal cell? Do we get to be
but I'll give you guys my cell. I don't mind. Hell no, that's not my personal cell. The one thing that you know, I talk about being authentic, and I like people to hear this. I never once did I mention my wife's name, nor will I ever. Right? This is when I talk about being authentic. You share the shit you want to share. You share the shit with the people you want to connect with. I don't put my wife out there because, you know, that's not where she needs to be. That's not where she wants to be. So, just a last tidbit of thought.
Nice. You know where your bread is buttered.
When you got it good, you protect it.
Amen. Well, thank you one more time, Donnie, for being on the show. And thank you, Warners, for listening today to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. To learn more about the show, Rachel, myself, our Keith Walters, who could not be here with us today, you can go to womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com to find all of that and connect with us.
That's right. And to connect with me personally, you can find me at thesinginglender.com or at that fabulous website, womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com, with also some cool free shit.
And I don't need to tell you to go share it because Donnie's already done that for me. So sweet, less for me to say. So Warners, keep on keeping it sexy, and remember, for the best relationships, keep it real, raw, and relevant.
And a little irreverence doesn't hurt either.
Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof, monkey, monkey.